And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, when we're talking about the prophetic word of God, we have to understand that everything Jesus said, everything God said through the apostles and the prophets is true, will be borne out in due time. But the problem is that most of the pastors and church leaders and Christians today, they're not really interested in what the word of God says. They've got their own preconceived notions. And they're mistaken about so many things, but in particular about a subject that I'm going to talk about today, which is the calling and election of God. Now, if you think this is going to be another boring sermon, well, listen up, because this is going to get to the root of the world's problems today. And it's going to really get at the foundation of the problems that we are stressed with, confronted with, and oppressed by in America today. You know, George W. Bush, as president, was told what to do by neocon Zionist zealots. But Barack Obama also has as his White House chief of staff and really his controller, his hidden superior, although he's not too hidden anymore. They're becoming more and more bold in their assertion of power. A Mr. Rahm Emanuel, who in fact is an Israeli citizen, who in fact is a member of the Israeli Mossad spy agency, and he is the chief of staff for the president of the United States, or at least January the 20th, 2009, he would be president, Barack Obama. You better understand then all about the calling and the election of God, because there are people in this country, and I mean millions and millions of people, and many pastors of so-called Christian churches who don't understand the calling and election of God and believe the Jews are at the very seat of the throne, and deservedly so, they believe. They believe that God has chosen the Jews as a superior bloodline and race. And therefore, when Barack Obama does the bidding of Rahm Emanuel in the White House, when George W. Bush did the bidding of Irving Libby Lewis, Paul Wolfowitz, and other Jewish neocons in and out of the White House, and I could go on with Mr. Pearl and Mr. Crystal and so many other Jews that have told the president what to do. Even the Rothschilds send their messages through various courier lines to the White House from Great Britain and from France. Listen, I want you to understand something. You must understand the relationship of Jews to God, and of you and I as Gentiles to God. Now, I want to make it very clear that God has a seed. You may not be a part of that seed. I pray that you are. Tex Mars is. I know I am. And you can know too. How do you know? Well, the Bible will give you exactly how to know. Whether you're called, whether you're chosen, whether you're the seed of God. And if you are, everything changes. And if you are not, everything remains hellish for you. and will become more so as time goes on. Now, we have an economy that is not just faltering, but stumbling into darkness. We have a country that is in, that is mired in mud and in great trouble in the world. And we're fighting two wars, and we'll probably be fighting bigger conflicts and wars very soon. All because of the misunderstanding of this concept of the calling and election of God. Now, you have to understand that if you belong to God, whatever race you are, God makes a blessing available to you. But if you are not of God, you have no blessing. And in fact, it might be that you end up on the receiving end of the curse of God. Some people say God never curses anybody. Well, you're wrong. God has a messenger boy who will come to you and apply a curse to your life. You say, well, I've never heard of such a thing. Well, you just don't know the word of God. Now, Abraham believed in God. He had faith in God. He was a Babylonian who saw all of the Babylonian religious gods and goddesses and their temples and their ziggurat pyramids and the worship of the great goddess of Babylon there in Ur in the Chaldees where his family was a great spiritual center of the ancient mystery religion. But Abraham, unlike the people all around him, being a minority, which people of God always are. Did you hear what I just said? The people of God are always a minority, and so Abraham was. He believed in the one true God and not all the false deities of the pagans all around him. And God rewarded him with a blessing. And let me read it to you exactly because it's going to matter to you about what happens in America. And I want to inform you that probably some 75 million Americans who are Christian evangelicals don't understand this verse that I'm going to read to you. You better, because it means so much. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God told Abraham, because of his faith, not because he was a good guy, not because he was a powerful man, not because he was a brain, a political genius, a warrior, or any other reason except he believed. I don't know what his physical stature was. He could have been a midget or a giant. He could have had red hair or black. None of that stuff matters except one thing. He had faith, and it was imputed to him for righteousness by God. And God told him, said, Abraham, because of your faith, I will bless you. I will bless thee. That means you. And make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Now right away, stop. God says, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing. You see, when God makes you a blessing, you go out and bring the blessing to others. You don't just hole up in some cave or go to the top of a mountain and say, oh, whoopity-doo, I'm blessed. You know, leave that to the monks that claim that they're blessed in some temple over there chanting all day. Some nonsense. The person who is blessed by God goes forth and is compelled and wants to bless others. If you're not sharing your blessing, you're not blessed by God. You're fooling yourself. And then God went on further after saying, I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you will be a blessing to others. God said, and I will bless thee. He said it again. Did you know that God is redundant? He does. He repeats himself. And I mean, let me tell you why. It's because people are stupid. I'm stupid. Sometimes God's got to tell me three or four times. Sometimes he has to slap me around and say, Tex, listen up. I don't mind if it wakes me up, if he shakes me up. Good for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I'm on the right road. Now I'm on the right path. Thanks for grabbing me by the arm and jerking me a little bit there, kind sir. And so he says to him again, this is all in Genesis 12, and I will bless thee. Now that's the second time he said, I'm going to bless you. And curse them that curseth thee. You see, God gives you a blessing and somebody else comes along and says, I'm going to do bad things to you. I'm jealous. I'm envious. I'm hateful of you. I'm spiteful. Whatever reason, the devil has made them oppose you because God has given you a blessing. They better be very, very careful because God says to his children, those he is blessing, he says, not only will I bless you, you're going to be a blessing to others. And if anyone comes along and opposes you and even curses you, I'll curse them. Okay. Now, I want you to understand something. Abraham was blessed by God and went forth to be a blessing to others simply because he believed. It wasn't because he was a Babylonian, which he was. It wasn't because he was Egyptian, which he was not. But if he had been an Egyptian, he would have still got the blessing. If he had been an Ethiopian, he would have got the blessing. If he had been a Chinese, he would have still got the blessing. And today, God blesses men and women across this globe because of their faith in him. And he makes them a blessing to others, and anyone who opposes their blessings will be cursed by God. Now let me tell you about Abraham's blessing, how he was able to bless others. God, you see, told Abram, I'll make of you a great nation, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to make Israel out of you, or I'm going to make Saudi Arabia out of you, or America. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families. Does that mean Africans? Yep. Does that mean South Americans? That's right. Does it mean Alaskans? Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Does it mean South Sea Islanders? Doesn't it say all families of the earth? So shut up when you're trying to name one or the other. It says all families. Why don't you believe what the Bible says? And quit listening to other people that says, well, it only matters to this one. It's only this nation that's blessed. It's only this one. It says all families. And I'm going to tell you something right now. From the lineage of Abraham came Jesus Christ. And indeed, through Jesus Christ, all nations, all families on earth are indeed blessed. Did you just hear what I said? This is the blessing that through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ came forth. And Galatians 3 verse 16 says, the seed is not as of many, but as of one, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let's go a little further. If Jesus comes out of that lineage, then you have to understand something. Abraham, and this is the incredible, almost mind-boggling situation here. Abraham is blessed by Jesus, who was with God from the very beginning, and said in the New Testament, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus existed before Abraham, and Abraham was blessed by Jesus. Because it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But even before the Word, which is Jesus Christ, the very Word of God was made flesh, he was in heaven being one with the Father, and it was him who told Abraham, I will bless thee. Abraham was the very spiritual seed of Jesus Christ. And everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is in fact Abraham's seed and of the family of God. You say, is that biblical? Let's read Galatians 3, verse 29. And I want to grab you by the hair. I want to do whatever I can. I love you, dear friend, and I want you to understand this. This is the most important verse I know that you're going to hear today, maybe this year, maybe this decade. Maybe it's the most important verse of Scripture you will have ever heard in your life, because it says in Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you remember the promise given Abraham? That I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. And I'll bless you, and I'll curse anyone who curses you. And now we see the extension of this promise to everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 29, if you belong, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is the promise given Abraham. You inherit the very promise given Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, if you belong to Christ.
Well, what if I'm a Mexican? What if I'm a Hawaiian? What if I'm a Romanian? What if...
Don't you listen? Don't you hear the Word of God speaking in your ears? Open them up. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. If you have wisdom, if you want to have knowledge, the knowledge that is effective to salvation, to eternal life, listen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you have this great promise that was given way back in time, over 2,000 years ago. If you don't want it, then shut up, go about your way. The devil has a plan for you. If you don't want it, if you say, I don't get this promise, that only applies to people who have Jewish blood running through their veins, then that is okay. I feel sorry for you, because you have just rejected the Word of God and you say, I don't want the promise. I don't want to inherit. I want to belong to the devil. Well, go on. Go get out of my sight. I'm so sorry for you. I'll pray for you. I love you. And probably tomorrow I'll cry for you. I know I will someday. I really don't want you to get out of my sight. I want you to stay right here. I want you to stay right by this radio or this audio tape or this CD. If you don't believe what God said, then you have a carnal mind. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, the carnal mind is enmity. That means an enemy of God, an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8 of chapter 8 of Romans says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jews cannot please God because of their flesh. But neither can you, and I don't care if you're Cherokee Indian, or Scottish, or whatever, British, it doesn't matter, German. You cannot please God in the flesh. You have got to believe in Jesus Christ and be born again in spirit and in truth. And Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 28, it doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Jew. It doesn't matter anymore. Because you're of the family of God and you're blessed by God when you believe in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to prove it even more. You see, there are some people that will never accept this verse and they will continue to believe that only the Jews are God's chosen people. And they will believe it because they're in the flesh. They're not in the spirit. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, let me tell you how things work for you. This is the good news. Chapter 8 of Romans says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, I know this New York Times bestseller by Rick Warren was called The Purpose-Driven Life, but it didn't really get to the root of the problem. It's not your purpose in life, it's God's purpose in life that you better be aware of. God has a purpose. Jump into his freight train of delivery, dear friends. He's got a purpose. Verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Wow. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God has given you a blessing, he's called you, he's going to finish what he did, you're going to end up glorified by his name because of his calling, not because of some purpose you think you have, but because of the purpose he has for you. Do what he says. Follow his purpose every day. Ask Jesus Christ, "What can I do to fulfill your purpose today, God?" Don't say, "What do I do to make myself happy? What do I do to make myself contented? What do I do?" No, 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 no. God, what must I do to fulfill your purpose? Don't even say for my life. Forget your life. Whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Give your life over as a living sacrifice to God. And you will be surprised what he can do with you. You may be 120 pounds of nothing, but he will take that and use it for his glory. I mean, after all, he took the fish and the bread and look what he did. He just multiplied it. He'll multiply your corpuscles and muscles and sinews and bone, and no telling where you'll end up, because he has a purpose of which you may not even know. I know he does. You don't even have to look at a roadmap. I'm telling you, God has your life mapped out in advance. And if you don't follow that every day, go with him, put your hand out and say, "Take me, Lord. Lead me." Because he already knew you in advance before you were ever born, and he predestinated you. And he has a purpose, and you've got to fit into his purpose. He doesn't have to listen to your moans and groans about where you were going wrong, or why you wanted this job or that job, or why you didn't get the mate you wanted or the love of your life. That's all just nonsense. He's got everything for you. He's got a job or no job. He's got a lovely person for you to be a partner of, or he doesn't. But it doesn't matter, because God has a purpose, and it's not necessarily what you want to do. But there's a strange thing that happens as you follow God. It seems that somehow you your mind becomes conformed to his purpose. That's the amazing thing. And before long, you are living in glory. It says right here. The Spirit will assure you of future glory. And it's fun every day. It's a delight. Now, you have the legal right and the spiritual privileges of this blessing. It's yours. It's yours. And no one but the child of God has it, because he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And the Jews or anybody else, the Muslims or anybody else, can tell you all day long, we're special. Then they are special. Special instruments of Satan. But the minute they have faith in Jesus Christ and they're born again through him, then they inherit a promise. And it doesn't matter anymore whether they're an Arab or a Jew or whatever they are. Now, how do you get this? How do you achieve, and it is an achievement, it's a reward, in fact, how do you get this blessing? And how do you bless others? How do you become chosen, one of God's chosen people? Well, chapter 10 of Romans says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the scripture saith, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Jews say, we will not have this man Jesus rule over us. Then therefore, they're not saved. They're not chosen. They're not predestinated. They're not on the way to glory. They're on the way to hell. But I'm not singling out the Jews. That's true of any other people on this planet. It's just that the Jews have proclaimed to the whole world, and some 75 million Christian evangelicals in America have believed their lie. They have proclaimed, we are God's chosen. Only we are fulfilling his purpose. We reject his son. Say what? We reject his son, but nevertheless, God loves us so much, we're fulfilling his purpose. It's an impossibility. But they proclaim it anyway, and 75 million Christian evangelicals in America, and I'm being generous with that number maybe, but they believe the lie. They believe this lie. Now, I'm going to end this part. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the curse of the Illuminati. The curse of the Illuminati. It has to do with this curse that God puts on anyone who opposes his people. And America is afflicted with a curse of the Illuminati, and we cannot get well because we're doing the wrong things to get well. And I want to tell you why America's economy is in the toilet. I'm going to tell you why we're in two wars and more to come. I'm going to tell you why people are miserable and in blasphemy and sexual depravity and homosexual abominations when we come back. And I'm going to tell you also how we can get rid of those curses, the curse of the Illuminati. Stay with us. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This Tex Mars again. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, going around the world here on Worldwide Christian Radio, and of course through the miracle of the internet, through audio streaming. We're on 24/7, 7 days a week with this message. You know, I've done a 3-hour teaching on this very subject. 3 hours. And it is the most inspirational set of CDs or tapes that you can imagine. I want to tell you how to get that. They're entitled The Called, The Chosen, The Faithful. The Called, The Chosen, The Faithful. A 3-hour set of tapes, audio tapes, or CDs. So when you order, specify whether you want it in CD or the old audio tape format. We're going to keep the audio tapes for a little while longer because so many people still have the audio tape, the cassette recorders at home or in their car, and they enjoy playing that. I know we're a little old-fashioned here, but we've gone to CDs. We've got the CD if you'd like to have it. But we retain the old one, too, because we're trying to reach as many people as we can, and that's why we're on Internet now, as well as shortwave radio, WWCR, beamed out of Nashville, Tennessee, although right now I'm in my studio and offices in Austin, Texas. This 3-hour set, The Call, The Chosen, The Faithful, for your love gift of $18, please add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $22. To get it, just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You may want to invite your friends over to your house to listen to these tapes. I'm not going to, on the tapes, I'm probably not in much of a rant like I am today. I'm just, you know, I'm really concerned today. I want people to get this and understand it. But I have a 3-hour set. I'm a little bit more moderate, a little bit more teaching style. But it still is the Word of God. And so many people write me on this subject, and here I have this 3-hour set. If they're that interested to write me and challenge me and sometimes tell me I'm all wet, well, get this 3-tape set and then tell me where I've gone wrong. Tex, you've gone wrong. Well, yeah, well, you got to prove it to me. You got to show me in the Bible. And in this 3-hour set, I show you where it says in the Bible. Now, again, $18 for 3 hours, The Call, The Chosen, The Faithful, add $4 shipping and handling. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or you can send a check or money order or cash for $22. Just stick a little note in with it in the envelope and say, hey, Brother Tex, send me The Called, The Chosen, The Faithful. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, by the way, that same address and phone number, if you'd like today's message, which is entitled The Curse of the Illuminati, The Curse of the Illuminati, we'll be glad to make that available to you for $8 plus $4 shipping and handling. $8 plus $4 shipping and handling. Ask for the audio tape or CD entitled The Curse of the Illuminati. I want to take one quick moment to thank all of you who have given to our Children's Home Project and assure you that every cent, every red penny, every silver dime, every dollar that you give to the Children's Project goes to those orphans, to those kids from broken homes in the Christian Children's Home in Round Rock, Texas, special project of Power of Prophecy. And you know, we don't take any overhead. We don't, not 1 cent. Everything you send goes direct to the Children's Home. And you know how I know it goes? Because we take it to them. We bring it to them. And we give it to the individual children. And buy clothes and such. We give them gift certificates to Walmart and low-cost stores so they can have coats and jackets for school and shoes and other things such as that. And the last few years, we've given each one a free gift of a Bible as well. And, you know, I don't want to cry here on air, but I will tell you that I have received letters from the young boys and girls, some of them 12, 14 years of age, who said it was the first Bible they ever owned. They never had their own Bible, and, you know, sometimes they don't even have access to a Bible. They do there. I know the Children's Home has a Bible, but can you imagine the joy of owning your own Bible for the first time in the United States of America, in this rich country, to get a Bible, the King James version of the Bible, have your own Bible? Oh, my. That is glorious in itself, and it's because of your gifts to this ministry. I want to tell you something, too, friends. We're not tax-exempt 501c3 status, so when you give to our ministry, you don't get a tax benefit. But I want to tell you something. God knows how to outdo the IRS. He knows how to reward you. He will give you a blessing. And by no means will he curse you. For giving. It'll make all the difference. So thank you for giving to the Texas Children's Home Project. Now when you send to that project, be sure to designate your, you can make it out to Power of Prophecy now, the check, or the money, or the cash, to Power of Prophecy, but make sure you have a little note, or if you send a check and it has a little F-O-R, the four section, put for children's home, or for, just put for the kids. Everybody here in the ministry at Power of Prophecy is trained, and we know what that means. It means the kids. It doesn't go into our fund, and we use it for other things. Not that we don't need your help. We do, just to stay on the air and going around the world with our message of the gospel truth. But we like to keep this separate, and we will. We have our own little tally, you know, sheet. We keep up a little register, and we take down your name and the amount, and I think it's also registered up in heaven. I really do. I'm not overstating it. God knows. And thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the curse of the Illuminati. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. You see, there is a false notion out there, the devil's doctrine, that says if you bless the fleshly state or the fleshly people called the Jews or the fleshly nation called Israel that's in the Middle East, God will bless you. Now, these people write to me all the time and they say, Tex, don't you know about Genesis 12 where God says to Abraham, I will bless you? Yes, I just read it to you earlier in this program. Well, that means we got to bless the Jews and we got to bless Israel. Yes. Listen to me very carefully. Let's just say that you are a sinner. You're born a sinner. You go about this world being a sinner, and you do some pretty bad things. And then one day, you repent of your sins. You get on your knees, and you know you're going to hell unless you repent. And you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Make me whole. Wash me clean. And he does. That's the good thing about Jesus. He does. If you repent of your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. The Apostle John said, and I believe that, it happened to me when I was just a young man of 16. It happened to me. Now, let's just say that happens to you. Maybe it already has. Praise God. And then from that moment on, I promise you, God will give you a blessing. Because you are the inheritor of the promises given to Abraham. I will bless you. And then I know something else, friends. You're going to bless others. But what if I said, okay, now, Jane or Sally or Jason or Billy or Rhonda, whatever your name is, what if I said to you, well, now that God has blessed you, that means that God will bless everyone that's of your race. Everyone that is of your bloodline, of your flesh, he will bless. Oh, you're an American? Then everybody in America will be blessed and will inherit an eternal life. I think you would look at me and say, Tex, that's not true. I have accepted Jesus, but there are almost 300 million Americans. They have not been redeemed. They have not necessarily accepted Jesus. I want to be a blessing to them, Tex. But they don't automatically get a blessing just because I live in this country. And you know what? You'd be right. If there's a Mexican named Juan Gonzalez or Jose Gomez who lives in Guadalajara, Mexico, and this very moment he is accepting Jesus Christ into his heart, I promise you he is receiving a blessing. And he is of the family of God, and he is blessed. And I know he will go about blessing others. But it doesn't mean the entire nation of Mexico is going to be saved or will inherit the blessings given to Juan or Jose or Maria, whoever is the recipient of this blessing. I'm sure that Juan or Maria, having Jesus in their heart, will be a blessing to many, maybe to their very family. But there are 160 million Mexicans, and probably most of them will never accept Jesus. They will continue to follow the devil all of their life. It's sad, but it's true. In America today, we have almost 300 million people living here. It is a sad thing that most will never accept Jesus. But if you accept Jesus, you go forth to be a blessing to others as God intended, to fulfill his purpose. There may be many who do come to Jesus through your efforts, because God will bless you. But I can almost tell you all 300 million Americans will not. For one thing, I doubt if you're going to have time to reach all 300 million. Even if you live 500 years, it takes a long time to reach 300 million. But of course, you have to start somewhere, so start now. But listen to me. This is true of the nation of Israel. It may be that some Jews will accept Jesus. In fact, the Bible says it. Paul said there is still a remnant of Jews who will believe in Jesus. After all, Paul was a Jew. He believed. He was saved. He became blessed the same way Abraham was blessed. And Paul said, and if ye be Christ, then you'll be blessed. He believed in Christ Jesus, and through faith, the Apostle Paul was blessed by God. He went forth to be a blessing to others, and we have his letters, Romans, Ephesians, Timothy, and all these wonderful books in the Bible. How many millions of people around the world, Gentiles, Jews, others, has Paul blessed? You can be a blessing too. But it doesn't translate to say just because Paul accepted Jesus that every Jew is saved. Not so. Because God, it says in the Bible, did I not read it to you? He will have mercy on whomsoever he will have mercy. He will have compassion on whomsoever he will have compassion. All the others received the curse because they've rejected his son. Most Jews have rejected Christ and will remain rejecters of Christ. But we should try to reach them for Christ. That's our job. It's our mission. Our purpose. Okay, now listen to me. Let me read to you what John said, the Apostle John, who was Jewish. Well, at least he was of the nation of Israel. He received the blessing of Abraham. How? Through faith. Not because John had a certain kind of blood or flesh. Because no one can please God in the flesh. Didn't I read that to you, the first part of this program? John, just like Paul, just like Abraham, did not please God through their flesh, but through the Spirit. And they were born again in spirit and in truth. And thus, that pleased God and his son. Now listen. Listen to this. Oh boy. Verse 4 of chapter 5 of 1 John says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The Jews cannot overcome this world. They're trying, and they have America as their big military bully boy, but they will not win. They will be vanquished by the world. And let me tell you why. God answers the question. Verse 5, chapter 5 of 1 John says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Listen to me, Jewish man or woman. You cannot overcome the world. You can kill all the Palestinians and Arabs. You won't. You can invade Iran and massacre millions of Muslims with your nuclear bombs that we've given you in Israel, but you will not overcome the world. Only he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now listen to this. They say, but we're Jews. We have the flesh. We have the superior bloodline. And we have the witness. Oh, yes, we have Abraham and the prophets, and we have the witness of men that we are God's chosen people. Well, you better read 1 John chapter 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, listen to this, Jewish person. Listen to this, and you Gentiles out there who believe that Jews are chosen by their race, by their fleshly nation, by their heritage or whatever ethnic reason, listen to this. It says, he that believeth on the Son of the God, on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. If a Jew does not believe the record, which is this New Testament that God has given us of his Son, he is calling, he would make of God a liar. You can't do that. You better not do that, because God will curse you. And this is the record, verse 11 says, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in your flesh. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wow. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jews, you're the congregation of the dead. Gentile, have you rejected Jesus Christ? You don't have the witness of God in you? Then you are a member of the congregation of the dead, just like the Jews who rejected Christ. Now we see America is suffering today. And I want to tell you why. Because we have blessed the criminal state of Israel, a nation that has as its holy book, the Jews have as their holy book, the Babylonian Talmud, and I have a copy of it right here in my office, the Babylonian Talmud, and it says that Jesus is a bastard, that Mary was a whore, that Jesus is boiling in a vat of excrement, boiling excrement, where he's suffering forever, that Jesus was a blasphemer. It says that eventually all who do not glorify and honor the Jews, that is the Jewish flesh race, will be beheaded. All who worship Jesus are worthy of death by beheading. That is the Jewish Talmud. We have a book by Michael Hoffman, very scholarly book called Judaism Discovered. You can order. You can phone us and get that book, Judaism Discovered. 1,100 pages, and it quotes over and over again the Talmud. This is a holy book of the Jews. The Old Testament is not their holy book. It is the Talmud that's their holy book. Just like the Quran is the holy book for the Muslims. And the Talmud of the Jews says that Christians should be killed. It says that Jews are the superior race. And it says that Jesus is a bastard. Now, those are such horrible things. I quake even in my flesh to even tell you about them. Can our blessing such a nation as this bring the blessings of God? No, they will bring curses into your life. Whoever hates and despises and blasphemes Jesus, you must not bless. If you do, you will be cursed. I want to tell you something, friends. No nation on earth has done more for Israel than the United States of America. It was America's President Harry Truman who in 1948 endorsed a proposal for a nation state for the Jews to be founded in the Middle East. We went to the United Nations and said, yes, we will sponsor this. Guess who was the co-sponsor? The Soviet Union under the communists. Two nations on earth co-sponsored Israel. Think about it. The United States and the Soviet Union under communists, under Stalin. We recognize, we were the first in the world, and the Soviet Union was the second nation in the world to recognize Israel as an independent nation. And since 1948 in its founding, we have favored this rabbinical Jewish Talmudic state. We have showered the Jewish state with hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid, and we've never asked them to pay back a cent. We've armed Israel to the teeth with fighter planes, tanks, submarines. They even stole our plans for the atomic bomb, and we let them get away with it, and they have, some say, up to 600 nuclear bombs now. How many does Iran have? None. How many did Saddam Hussein have in Iraq? None. We use our diplomatic muscle to shield the Jewish thugs in the United Nations, and Christian evangelicals are the worst. Because we have these Zionist zealots like Pastor John Hagee, psychologist James Dobson, the late Reverend Jerry Falwell, TV evangelist the gay man Paul Crouch, Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, and all of these people teach a lie. They say that's the Christian evangelicals. Even Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention says whoever blesses Israel, that's the fleshly nation of Israel, God will bless. Whoever curses Israel, God will curse. But it doesn't say that in the Bible, does it? I've already told you, it says God told Abraham, whoever blesses you. Now, friends, when you accept Jesus, God will bless you, but it doesn't mean he's going to bless all of America. And he blessed Abraham, but Abraham was the father of Ishmael and, of course, Isaac, Jacob, and so on through that line, the patriarchs. So then his seed is the Arabs. Yes, that's right. The Palestinians, the Arabs, through Ishmael, they're the seed of Abraham. But they're Muslims. Is God going to bless them? No, because they rejected the one who has life, Jesus Christ. The Muslims reject Jesus Christ. They cannot be blessed by God because they reject the Son of God, and in him alone is life. The Jews cannot be blessed by God because they reject the one who gives the blessing, who is Jesus Christ. If you reject the blesser, how can you be blessed? If the blesser wants to bless you, but instead you say, go to blazes, he is not going to bless you. Can you imagine? What is the fate of Israel? What is the fate of this fleshly nation? Ezekiel, their own prophet, and our prophet, said exactly what that fate would be. You see, God told Ezekiel, dig in the wall, and I'm going to show you the apostasy, the abominations of the house of Israel. And here's Ezekiel's testimony and report from Ezekiel 8. Then he said unto me, that's God speaking to Ezekiel, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned. Have what? Returned. And have returned to provoke me to anger. The Jews have returned to Israel. In 1948, they got their own country again, and they went forth to massacre, kill, torture, plunder the peoples around them. For they have filled the land with violence, said God, and have returned to provoke me to anger. Therefore, and this is God speaking, it's not Tex Morris, it's God. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You bless Israel, God will curse you. You know why? Because Israel is the enemy of God. I'm talking about the fleshly Israel. There is an Israel of God. Read Galatians 4 through 6. Paul talks about the Israel of God. It's all those who believe in Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles. But I'm not talking about the Israel of God, of which I, Tex Morris, am a part, and you also, if you have faith in Jesus. I'm talking about the Israel of the flesh, the Jews, in America, in Europe, in Israel, that little nation in the Middle East. And God's fury is against them. They have provoked him to anger because of their rejection and blasphemy against his son. I'm not talking even about 2,000 years ago when they put him on a cross and crucified him, yet he lives. I'm talking about today. They re-crucify him over and over again with their Talmud. And you have the audacity, Christian evangelical, to say, to speak the lie that whoever blesses the Jew or physical Israel, God will bless. Listen to me. Why do you think we have such misery in America? In my newest newsletter, I give 16 ways God is cursing America. God is cursing America. I believe ever since 1948, a curse has fallen on America. A darkness has fallen on this country. We're riddled with narcotics, with meth, with illegal drugs, with pornography. Our political leaders lie, cheat, fornicate, kill, disgrace us all. We've been led by a moron, George W. Bush, as president, and now we have a Marxist-Leninist in office in Barack Obama. We're engaged in two foreign wars simultaneously. Over 4,000 of our young people have been slain, tens of thousands maimed with limbs torn off by roadside bombs in far-off Iraq. Now they want to give us another war in Iran and another war in Pakistan. And we have 20 to 40 million illegals that have taken away jobs of American citizens in our borders. We don't even know how many. And our kids, heavy metal rock music, sorcery, occult TV cartoons. And their minds are taking mind control drugs, Prozac, Ritalin, mind altering drugs. This nation is cursed. And why shouldn't we be? It's the curse of the Illuminati brought on us because we're not blessing Jesus Christ. We're blessing those who oppose him. This is Tex Morris. You've been listening to a special edition today. We've talked about the curse that has fallen on America because we have blessed the enemies of God and his son, Jesus Christ. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.